Is there life after failure? Hey, we all know that the Lord saves and forgives from the guttermost to the uttermost, and the lost sinner can find grace and forgiveness in the Lord. But what about the fallen saint? What about when a Christian blows it big time? Is there life after failure? Well, good Friday morning to you, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I woke up this morning thinking about the Book of Lamentations. And I know what you're thinking. You preachers are weird. You wake up in the morning, you think about Lamentations. Lamentations is a great book. Lots of people don't read it. They just think, oh man, that I can't get into that. But Lamentations is the lament of the prophet Jeremiah when the destruction of Jerusalem came in 586 BC. And it's Lamentations is five chapters. Every chapter is 22 verses corresponding to the Hebrew alphabet of 22 letters. The third chapter is three sets of 22 verses, so it's 66 verses. But it's basically the A to Z, the beginning of the alphabet and the end of the Hebrew alphabet. It's everything in between, A to Z and all in between, of the disaster that Jeremiah was feeling and the people were feeling because Judah and the capital city of Jerusalem and the temple of Solomon that Solomon built for the Lord, the temple of the Lord, was totally destroyed. And the city is totally destroyed. And Lamentations begins this way: how lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon, when he came in and destroyed the city, he brought back captives. And he did it in three waves. First came in 605 BC, Daniel and his three friends were taken in that first deportation. That's what the word is used, deportation. They're taken back captives. They're saying, hey, you're not going to live in Jerusalem anymore. You're going to come live in Babylon. And then they did that again in 597. And then they came against Judah again in 586 because Judah was saying, hey, we don't want to pay tribute to Babylon. We don't want to be under Babylon's thumb. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you don't want to be under my thumb? Well, I'm going to wipe you out. And so Lamentations is Jeremiah just crying from the depths of his soul over what he sees, over the devastation of Jerusalem. And it's such a powerful book because it teaches us in the middle of the book, Lamentations chapter 3, we read about God's faithfulness. It was Thomas Chisholm who in 1923 wrote a poem based on Lamentations chapter 3, and then another man, William Runyon, put it to music, and it's the song that we sing, the hymn that we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And that comes from Lamentations chapter 3. And here is what makes that so powerful. It's the things that Jeremiah says before he talks about God's great faithfulness, because when he starts off in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, here's how I feel. I feel like God has abandoned me. He said, I feel like God doesn't hear my prayers. He says, even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He's blocked my way with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. That's the prophet Jeremiah. That's how he feels. He is identifying with Jerusalem and the nation of Judah and all the destruction that came. And here's the thing. God had told his people, listen, through Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God had told them through Joshua, through Moses. Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, hey, I set before you today the blessing and the curse, life and death, so choose life that you may live. But if you don't follow the Lord, just know that you're going to be swept away. And God, through the prophets, kept telling his people, listen, if you don't follow me, if you go after idols, if you mingle with the pagans and adopt their ways, I will destroy you. And so don't get the idea that just because you're my quote-unquote chosen people, just because I have my house, the temple of the Lord there in Jerusalem, don't get the idea that this can never, nothing bad can ever happen. It can happen. And I will allow the house of the Lord to be destroyed. And it comes because of your sin. So the people during that time period, 605 BC to 586 BC, you had the first deportation, as I said, in 605 BC, and then 597, you have the second deportation, and then 586, the third deportation, and the destruction of the wall of Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord, and everything was destroyed, and it was awful, awful. That's why Jeremiah is lamenting, and God is just showing the people, yes, this can happen. Your trust needs to be in me. You need to follow me. And if you don't do that, then eventually the judgment falls and my wrath falls. And Lamentations talks a lot about the wrath of God. But here is the good news. So Jeremiah, he's talking about how bad, how awful he feels and how bad things are. And the circumstances feel like the people have failed too greatly for God to ever restore them, for God to ever forgive them. And listen, I've done enough counseling with people, and I've seen enough in my own life and wrestled with this in my own heart. You know, as Christians, it's not that we're perfect. You know, we would love to say, well, I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and there have been a few bumps in the road, but I've never, you know, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. But there are times when it feels like we blow it, and not in a minor way, but in a big way, kind of like in a Simon Peter way, where he denied the Lord three times. He cursed and swore. I don't even know the man. And the cock crows, and he goes out and weeps bitterly. Hey, how can you be restored after you have that kind of massive failure? Well, Peter is such a great example to you and to me because the Lord did restore him. And so Jeremiah is lamenting. He says, he has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. And my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. He lost all hope. Then he says this, Lamentations 3:19. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Okay, you ready? This I recall to mind. He's getting ready to tell us what the this is. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. That is such great news, because God is merciful and God is compassionate. God is compassionate, and his loving kindnesses indeed never cease, even in the midst of tremendous failure as the people of God had failed him so greatly and suffered the consequences of that failure, God hadn't kicked them out. God hadn't said, forget it, get out of here, I'm done with you. God hadn't said, just go die somewhere in a corner. The hand of the Lord is still stretched out. And here's the good news for you and me as Christians, as believers in Jesus. Because here's the thing. We all get excited when a sinner comes to faith in Christ. When somebody who is deep in sin, as the song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. And the favorite song of the church for the last several hundred years, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. However it goes, I've lost it now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we offer that to all who are far off, and we say, no matter what you've done, you can leave the pigsty of sin, and you can come to the Lord, and you can find grace. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture is at the end of Luke 7, where the prostitute weeps at Jesus' feet, and he says to her, your sins have been forgiven. Her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so we latch on to stories like that, and we tell people that we meet, hey, I don't care what you've done. Jesus can forgive you. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead, and you can be washed white as snow. And we believe that for them. But what about for us? What about when we, as followers, blow it big time, when we have a failure like David, when we have a failure like Simon Peter? Can we come back from that? You know, what happens when a pastor commits the sin of adultery? Is he just done? Is he just written off? You know, we live in a cancel culture. Does God have a cancel culture? Does God write you off? If you've blown it big time, maybe you got divorced and it was your fault, mostly your fault, why the divorce came and it ripped your family apart. We hear this all the time. Well, I can't forgive myself. I can't forgive myself. The Bible never tells you to forgive yourself. The Bible tells us that we come before the Lord, we confess our sins, we repent, we turn from sin and turn to Him, and we receive His forgiveness. There's no one greater than God. And if God says, your sins have been forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. When he says that to an unbeliever who puts his faith and trust in Jesus, when he says it to one of his own children who has fallen terribly, hey, I still forgive you. I can wash that white as snow. And when we receive his word and believe his word, then we're forgiven. We it's not about forgiving yourself. It's about believing his word and accepting his forgiveness completely. And if the Lord says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, homologeo, to say the same thing as God says, if we say what God says about our sins and we deal with them openly, honestly, rightly, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. He is faithful and just. Just because Jesus died on the cross for those sins, and there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness. Are there consequences because of sin? Yes. Does that mean a pastor who commits adultery can just confess his sin, get down on his knees, and 5 minutes later, hey, everything is good? No, there are consequences. Consequences with the church, consequences with his family. But it doesn't mean that God kicks you out. The devil will say to you when you fall terribly, give up. And God says to us, look up, get up, put your hand in mine, and let's walk again in the light. I'm not done with you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break. But when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines and hear from you. Don't go away.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
AFA is here every day fighting for the future of America, and praise be to God, we're making a difference. One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You're in my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about this subject. Is there life after failure? Life after failure for the Christian. As we said in the first segment, we all have grace for the lost sinner, but we tend not to have much grace for the fallen saint. And many Christians really struggle because they say, I knew better, and yet I fell into terrible, horrible sin. I rebelled against God as a believer. How can I possibly be made right with Him? I forfeited so much of what He had for me. You know, you think about, and we all have had those feelings, but you think about Jonah. So I talked about Peter. Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, he had all those same feelings as he looked around the destruction of Jerusalem. Peter, no doubt, he had all those feelings when he denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, and he punctuated it with a curse and a swear. And I believe that he's not. It's not just using foul language. When he cursed and swore, he's invoking God's name. He's saying, I swear by God that I don't know this man. May he bring a curse upon me if I'm lying, that kind of thing. I mean, that's worse than just using vulgarities. And the Lord restored Peter. We think of Jonah in the Old Testament. Wrong way Jonah, the prophet who was called by God to go to Nineveh. And he said, no way am I going to Nineveh. Well, Nineveh is going east. And Jonah went down to Joppa, boarded a ship going west. He's going in the wrong direction. And you know the story of Jonah, a big, big storm, and everybody was going to die because of this disobedient prophet. Throw me overboard, he tells the guys. We don't want to do that. That's your only hope. They throw him overboard. God appoints a great fish to swallow him up. And from the belly of the fish, Jonah gets right with God. And the word of the Lord, one of my favorite verses, Jonah 3:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 500th chances. And if he weren't that kind of a God, there'd be no hope for you and no hope for me and no hope for any of us, because all of us have feet of clay and all of us fall and fail. And, you know, we kind of put we put some parameters on that. We say, well, you know, if I tell a lie, then I can come back from that, is provided it's not too great a lie. If I do this, you know, if I take home something from work that I'm not supposed to take home, you know, I steal pens from there or something like that. Oh, that's minor. It's not like I'm stealing, you know, hundreds of dollars. And so we kind of put parameters on our failures. But if we fail big time, then we say there's no coming back from that. But listen, Lamentations 3, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. God never stops loving his children. And that loving kindness is hesed in the Hebrew. That's his loyal covenant love. It never stops. And his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And God is faithful to us. And even when we feel like God has abandoned us, he has not. For Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Can we sin? Yes. Do we sin? Yes. Can we get far away from the Lord as believers? Yes. Lot is a good example. Lot is called a righteous man, yet he wasted his life living in Sodom and was saved by the skin of his teeth, so to speak, had nothing to show for his years as a believer. But he didn't lose his soul, and God still had compassion on him. And so there are consequences for our sins, but there is restoration in the Lord. There is grace for us, and failure doesn't have to be final. I think John Maxwell made the comment. He said, look at the word failure. You need to take the you out of failure. You are not a failure. You have failed, and failure is not final, because we can come to the Lord and be restored. It may mean, as a pastor, it may mean you're not going to be in the pastorate maybe for the rest of your life, but that doesn't mean you can't have a ministry. That doesn't mean you can't be effective. That doesn't mean you can't make things right with people you wronged. That doesn't mean you can't seek forgiveness for those horizontal relationships that you broke by your pride, by your sin, by your selfishness. And it doesn't mean that God is putting you in the doghouse for the rest of your life. You can be restored, just as David was restored, just as Peter was restored, just as Jonah was restored. You and I can be restored too. Well, we want to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And talk about this subject, because I think a lot of Christians get so down. We just lose hope and we just feel like we're damaged goods. And, you know, I was doing so well, but now because I've blown it, I can't have an effective ministry. I can't have an effective witness. I've trashed my witness. You know, Sandy Patty is somebody that I really love and admire. She came to our church some years ago and sang, and she has a book that I love. It's called Broken on the Back Row. And she talks about, in that book, she talks about her adultery. And she talks about the fact that, you know, she was such a big name in the Christian music industry, and Johnny Carson had her on The Tonight Show, and she sang, and people had never heard somebody sing quite like that with those high, high notes. But she was living a lie, and she was trying to, you know, pretend like she was really right with God, like she was a woman of God, and then she had this sin in her life, the sin of adultery. And, well, she talks about all that. And I love, there's a line in her book that I just love that says she got to the place, she says, because she was so afraid of the truth coming out. She was so afraid of people hearing what she had done, and she was trying so hard to protect her image. And her pastor was dealing with her and helping her and encouraging her, Sandy, you got to let that go. You got to get right with God. And she said she was at a airport talking on the phone to her pastor, and she was just so broken. And she said this, I don't care what people find out about me. I don't care what comes out in the newspaper. I just want to be right with God. That's my that is paramount to me. That is the most important thing. I want to be right with God. I'm sick of doing damage control. I just want things to be right with the Lord. And hey, when you get to that place, no matter what you've done, God can restore. And does that mean it's going to be immediate? No. No, that's why Lamentations says, Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. We have to wait on the Lord. And there is a time when a Christian has a big time failure, there's a time that we are in the waiting period before God can use us again. And our repentance has to be genuine, has to be real, has to be known. We have to own what we have done, not minimize what we have done. We have to own what we have done so that the Lord can be glorified. And I think about that Joshua when he found out that Achan was the one who had sinned in Joshua chapter 7 and taken things from Jericho that were under the ban. That means they belong to God. Don't take those things. And Achan found a wedge of gold, and he found a coat that he liked, and he took some things that were under the ban and he hid those in his tent. It was a terrible sin, and they lost the next battle against Ai because of Achan's sin. And Joshua says to Achan, give glory to God. Tell us what you did. And so when we confess, that brings glory to God. When we really open our hearts, where we're not trying to protect our image. As Sandy Patty said, I don't care what people find out about me. I just want to be right with God. I want the smile of God to be back on my life. I want to get out of the shadows and walk in the light with him. The only way we can do that is by confessing our sins. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sin. Well, we have Dwight on the line from Texas. Dwight, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Yes, sir.
I can identify with Sandy Patty. I've been down that hard road and still going on it. The sexual sin, the devil knows where your weakness is, and he will knock you on your backside when he gets a chance to. And it's hurt my witness, and it's given me a lot of pain and suffering over the years. But about 3, maybe a year, well, it's been about 3 years after the whole thing started. And I had gone through a lot of legal problems and stuff, and I was in church one day. Fortunately, I was still able to go to church, but I couldn't hold any offices or anything. But I was at during communion time, and just before the start, they always ask if you want to pray, if you got anything on your heart about that you need to pray and get right with God. Well, I've been praying for some time to meet with him about that, about the situation I was in, and he essentially, when I was praying, it's just like the voice came into my head, like I never had for a long, long time. I used to have a regular communion with the Lord, and that all that thing just changed at one time. But when I confessed all that to him, this voice came to me and says, "Neither do I condemn you." And I thought of the lady that was caught in adultery when Jesus told her that, and said, "Now go and sin no more." I got the message, and I knew that he had forgiven my sins. But it's not an easy road back. I don't tell anybody that it's an easy road back, but he is faithful. I have been able to do a few things for him, and that's my prayer every morning when I get up. Lord, if you have something for me to do today that'll help somebody, put them in my path. And that's been a constant prayer for me.
Amen. That's a good prayer to pray, Dwight. You know, I appreciate you sharing that, and we need to remember that. It is not, because the devil will tell us, listen, you can do this, you can sin, God is forgiving God, he's compassionate, his mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. He'll tell you all those things on the front end of the sin, and then you commit that sin, and there's tremendous guilt, and you feel so separated from God. And then he comes in and says, look what you did. I can't believe you did that. And you call yourself a Christian. There is no way that God will ever forgive you. And he beats us up with a club of condemnation. And it's in those times that we have to rely on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Well, hey, the Word of God says there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. But the Word of God says that there are consequences for our sins, and God does forgive, but he doesn't take away the consequences. I have found that the Lord is gracious to oftentimes minimize the consequences, but the soul that does evil will experience the consequences of that. Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. And if you sow to the flesh, you will from the flesh reap corruption, and it brings reproach on the name of the Lord, as Nathan the prophet said to David when he called him out in his adultery. Because you've done this, you've given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, because you represent God to the world, and you have done a terrible job representing him. And so there are consequences, and David paid tremendous consequences in his family because of his sin, because of his selfishness. But the good news, God doesn't kick us out. God doesn't say, I'm done with you. God is the God of grace, the God of mercy, and the God of hope. So Dwight, thank you for sharing, and thank you for just being a man that's willing to say, hey, this is what happened to me, and God is faithful. But as your life and as your testimony bear out, don't do this, because this is not the way to go. You want to keep walking in the light with Jesus. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Jake on the line from Arkansas. Jake, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
I will listen to you, and you were talking about Lot, you know, how he made it by the grit of his teeth.
Yes.
But you never mentioned Sarah, his wife, because God told them, do not look back. And
yeah.
She did look back. And that's the way it is in life. When we do things and we repent of it, God forget it, but we can't look back. You know, and also, it's a willful sin, that if we sin and we know that it's wrong, we have to pay the price for it. Like you did say, like, God does not leave us. We turn our back on God. He stand at the door and knock for us to come back. If
right.
we don't come back, we got problems.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, that's a good point, Jake. So, yeah, Lot's wife, the scripture doesn't ever give us her name, but Lot's wife uh, did look back, longing for the city of sin, and she was consumed in the judgment. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. It's one way for Christians to be good stewards of the resources God has entrusted to us. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. The offerings of the AFA Foundation can help you to shore up permanent income for your retirement years, and at the same time, support the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Why not contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if including the AFA Foundation in your estate plan is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about life after failure. And we've been in Lamentations today, looking at that famous verse in Lamentations 3 about the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, in the easy-to-read version, I don't know if you've ever looked at the easy-to-read version. It sounds like the first-grade version, but it's really a good version. This is what it says, Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 18, the prophet Jeremiah. I said to myself, I no longer have any hope that the Lord will help me. Remember, I am very sad, and I have no home. Remember the bitter poison that you gave me. I remember well all my troubles, and I am very sad. But then I think about this, and I have hope. We are still alive because the Lord's faithful love never ends. Every morning He shows it in new ways. You are so very true and loyal. I say to myself, the Lord is my God, and I trust Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. He is good to those who look for Him. Such a great passage of Scripture. I encourage you to read the book of Lamentations. You know, it's one of those books that that often gets overlooked in the Old Testament. We have the book of Jeremiah that gets a lot of attention, but then Lamentations, that's the smaller book that he wrote, only five chapters. The verses are long in there, 22 verses in four chapters, 66 verses in the third chapter, but the heart of Lamentations is Lamentations 3:23, where God's love never fails, his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Well, there is life after failure for the child of God, and God is a merciful and faithful and gracious God. And so we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you. And maybe you have a testimony that says, hey, like Dwight's in just before the break, he shared about how he committed a terrible sin as a believer, and it's been hard because you reap what you sow. But he has found that God has not thrown him out of the family, and God has been faithful to him, and God will be faithful to you too. You know, we think about David, and the thing that comes to mind when people think about King David, we think about how he killed Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's very famous. That'll always be associated with David, David and Goliath. But then we think about his great sin with Bathsheba, and that sin cost him big time. Chuck Swindoll said he thinks David was about 50 or so when he committed that sin with Bathsheba. And, you know, we saw some things leading up to that sin where David is taking more wives and having all these kids. You know, when you have a bunch of wives and you're the king, then you have a bunch of kids. David had more kids than he could parent well, and he wasn't a good parent, but then he wanted somebody else's wife. He sees Bathsheba bathing, 2 Samuel chapter 11. He's supposed to be out in battle. It's the spring of the year when the kings go out to battle. He doesn't go out to battle, and he's there. He gets up from his bed in the evening when people are going to bed. He's just getting up from his bed. He's been coasting in his life, and then he sees Bathsheba. And she's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And here's the thing. He wants her, even though she belongs to somebody else. And Uriah is one of David's mighty men. Uriah would have died willingly for David's honor. And he ends up dying by David's hand. And David takes his wife. A terrible sin. And that just unleashed disaster in David's family. The next chapter, his son Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar, and then his son Absalom kills Amnon, and then Absalom tries to take the kingdom from David, and then Joab ends up killing Absalom. Joab was David's general and David's nephew. It's just disaster that came into his life, all because of that sin. So there are consequences. We reap what we sow. But there's also life after failure. So we tell the people that haven't blown it big time in the Christian life, don't do it because the consequences are so severe. And we tell those who have failed terribly, like David, hey, there is still grace in the Lord. God is not done with you. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God can use you, but you have to walk in the light with him. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we have Alan on the line from Texas. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Brother Jeff. It's good to hear your voice and speak with you. I spoke with you about 3 or 4 years ago, and I just encourage you in your new show, and if the Lord put it on your heart, then I'm sure it's touching people at a different time slot, and I just... I'm glad to hear you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And back on what you were talking about, you know, the devil, he's the great deceiver, and he's been doing, his tactics have been the same since Genesis, you know, making you question yourself and stuff. And like you said, there is consequences to some failures, but the Lord's mercies are new every day. And what the devil wants to do is keep you out of the fight. And if you don't feel the devil pressing on you, then you might be going the same direction. So that's actually a good sign if he's hearing that, but you don't listen to him. You got to, just like Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, you know, get behind me, Satan, when you're not speaking the truth. And so anyway, I just wanted to encourage you, and I know that you take on a lot besides your ministry there in Texarkana, but you do touch a lot of people, and I'm just proud to call you a guy that I really pray for and appreciate.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that so much, and thank you for calling in. Appreciate your encouragement. Appreciate your words. And when you said something, I immediately thought of Proverbs 24:16. It says, "For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again." And you're exactly right. When we fall, the devil moves in and says, "Hey, you've blown it, and you can't get up, and God can't forgive you, and you're an embarrassment, and you need to just follow the advice of Job's wife, curse God and die." And we see a lot of people. I remember when that Ashley Madison thing came out, there was a seminary professor that was really well loved, but his name was on that list of those who had signed up to have an affair. And when that came out, he was just overcome with guilt and shame and embarrassment, and he took his own life. And his wife said, you know, we could have worked out anything. She was heartbroken. But he believed the lies of the devil. It's over. And your family is better off without you. And he took his own life. Hey, a righteous man, not a bum, not a scum, not a loser, not a dirtbag, but a righteous man, he falls seven times. And he doesn't listen to the voice of the devil saying, give up. He rises again. He listens to the voice of God, and he gets up. And he walks with God. He confesses his sin. He experiences the circumstances that are associated with sowing to the flesh, but he trusts the Lord to use those for good. And God does. And Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, even sinful things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So thanks for calling in, Alan. Well, we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Jeff. When I was growing up in the church, we used to hear people discussing what the Bible called besetting sins.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to hear you comment on that and also on the unpardonable sin.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Jay. Yeah, so besetting sins, that comes from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 in the King James reads this way, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, that's KJV. New American Standard calls that the sin which so easily entangles us. So we all have sins that are difficult for us, that are an Achilles heel for us. It's not all the same thing. And so for some people, for lots of men, the sin of lust, lusting after a woman, that is a besetting sin. That is the sin that so easily entangles us. For women, that tends not to be the sin that so easily entangles them. A lot of that, the sin that so easily entangles them is insecurity, comparing themselves to other women, how they look and where they are in life. Jealousy can be a sin that so easily entangles. Bitterness can be a sin that so easily entangles. So we have to watch out for those sins that we know, hey, this is a real issue for me. You know, because certain things, I have a friend of mine, and he said, hey, Jeff, lust is not a big deal for me, but greed is a big deal for me. So he had to be extra careful with those get-rich-quick schemes because that was a problem for him. So we all need to make sure we're shedding those things because we're running a race, and we don't want to run with a big heavy coat on or ankle weights on or or some kind of heavy backpack on. We want to shed those things, the sin that so easily entangles us, and deal with those things. We confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. And we need a brother, a sister, a faithful accountability partner where we can share our struggles with and get help. As far as the unpardonable sin goes, that is the sin that eyes wide open, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to show us who Jesus is, and we reject and we say no. That's what happened in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus healed a man that was deaf and dumb, and they said he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And so Jesus warned them of the unpardonable sin because he said that doesn't even make sense. Satan doesn't cast out Satan. You guys know this, but you're unwilling to embrace the light that the Holy Spirit is giving you, showing you that I am the Messiah. You just say no. And if you do that with your eyes wide open, there's nothing else that God can do in your life. You have committed the unpardonable sin, and there's no more light that can be shown you because when it was shown to you, you rejected it. So the only sin that God can't forgive is the sin of rejecting his Son, who is the forgiver. So I appreciate that, Jay. Well, we have Deborah on the line from Texas. Deborah, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff.
Hi.
And I'm calling to encourage you. I am so blessed that you're on the radio every morning at this hour.
Thank you.
You address all the things that I'm going through. So I'm just calling to encourage you and thank you for being here in the a.m. and in the evening.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Deborah, and I appreciate your call. It encourages my heart, and may God bless you, my sister, and just strengthen you as you fight these battles and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and walk in the light with him. He loves you so much. Well, we have Don on the line from Texas. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I heard you say earlier about how we as Christians sometimes shoot our own. And I'm not a friend of Johnny Hunt's. I'm way apart from him, but I can just see that seems to be what is happening in the Southern Baptist Convention in dealing with him, in that even churches who would allow him to preach, they're going to be, you know, taken out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I just think it's a travesty what has happened to Johnny Hunt. He admitted his sin. You know, he's gone through restoration, all of that, and yet it's like we're adopting the ways of the world of the cancel culture. And I just think it's horrible.
I would agree with that, Don. You know, Johnny's not trying to say what he did was good and fine and right. He confessed it. He dealt with it early on. That happened, I think, in 2010 or 11 or something like that. He thought that was addressed and dealt with properly and moved on, although he didn't make it public. And then it became public, and it's been very devastating for him. We can't control that, obviously, what happens in the culture. It's what Sandy Patty said. I just got to get right with God. I got to trust him that he'll work out all the details. And I got to trust, as my friend John Bassanio used to say, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we trust him with it. We look to him. And we know that there are consequences for sin. And maybe God's not going to be able to use us in the way he did before because of this sin. But he never stops loving us, and there are still opportunities for us to shine and share. So thank you, Don. Wesley, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We're running out of time, but call me again on Monday, and I'd love to answer that question you have about John 9:31. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I want to say with Sandy Rios, download the app, AFR app, and listen as you're working out, as you're walking, as you're doing the dishes, whatever, you can really grow by listening to American Family Radio. So thank you. Make a big difference this weekend. Shine and share, and God will use you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.